الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله لا إله إلا
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
صف سیدھی فرمائی اللہ اکبر الحمد للہ رب العالمین الرحمن الرحیم مالک یوم الدین ایاک نعبد و ایاک نستعین اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك برحمتك يا
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويل لكل همزة لمزة الذي جمع مالا وعدده يحسب أن ماله أخلده كلا لينبذن في الحطمة وما أدراك ما الحطمة نار الله الموقدة التي تطلع على الأفئدة إنها عليهم مؤصدة في عمد ممددة صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon my most beloved master, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, reminding ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor and honor of my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam upon us that today we have the opportunity to sit in the protection of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and discuss the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. Continuing on from the previous week, we will continue with Surah Al-Humaza, and we were speaking about the verse wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ, that they think. And to contextualize, the discussion was about those people who hoard wealth and continuously count it through greed and through miserliness. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and says that these people think that their wealth will eternalize them. Their wealth will make them live forever. The ulama over here explain that there are three possible meanings to this. The first meaning is that they think that their wealth will save them from death. And we already discussed this in the previous week. And we gave the example of people who will clutch onto youth by utilizing technological advances in terms of plastic surgery, in terms of medication, in terms of fitness, trying to stay fit and healthy. But the gradual effects of time tends to take over, and the inevitable takes place, and that is death. The second explanation that the ulama have given here is that they think that their wealth will stay with them forever. They think that their wealth will stay with them forever. And this is ever so untrue, especially in this time that we are living in the digital age, wherein there was a time in the history of humanity where wealth was in the form of gold coins and silver, real gold and real silver. Whereas today we live in the digital age, and most wealth, first of all, wealth that we can actually hold in our hands physically, it normally is in the form of notes, whether they are paper notes or whether they are plastic notes. And there was a time when these notes tended to represent a certain amount of gold in the bank, and you could actually go to the bank and say, right, here is £10, I want £10 worth of gold, and they would give it to you. Whereas that time has gone as well, and if you did that today, then you would probably be laughed at. And now the time has come where the paper notes have turned into plastic notes, and they say that 90% of the wealth in the world doesn't even exist physically. It only exists in the form of numbers on phones and numbers in accounts. And the fluidity of wealth is ever so apparent today, where so many times it happens that overnight a poor person becomes rich, and overnight a rich person can become poor. A rich person, he has shares in a certain company, and the company suddenly collapses. It goes into administration, and suddenly that wealth is no longer there. That company is not worth anything anymore. And it's happened on countless occasions where individuals who are worth billions, overnight they have lost every single penny, every single cent. So this is the nature of wealth. Wealth comes, wealth goes. We should not let wealth change us as individuals. We should value ourselves with how many sunnats of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do I have in my life. That should be the measure of true wealthiness. My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said in a hadith, لَيْسَ الْغِنَى عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرْضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ, that richness is not, the rich is not that person who has an abundance of wealth in this world, an abundance of material richness and wealth is that person who has contentment in his heart. And so we should not, you know, give so much value to the pounds and the dollars that we respect the person who has money and we disrespect the person who does not have money. You know, why is it that when a person drives a normal car down the street, no one looks at him twice? But when a person suddenly, if you spent 10 years driving a so-called normal car, and then one day you come to the masjid or you drive down your local neighborhood in a very expensive car, then suddenly people will start treating you differently. They start talking to you differently. They start treating you with respect. Because we have the... Why does this happen? It's because we have the value of the dunya in our hearts. If we valued the akhirah in our hearts, These things would not make an iota of a difference. We would look at the God-fearing people with respect, and we would look at the sinner with concern, the concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so many people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining here, that people think that wealth is, you know, everything. He gave the example of a few years ago, the ruler of Dubai, he passed away. And there was a picture that somebody sent out of his grave. And in the background, you can see the skyscrapers, the Burj, Burj Al Arab, Burj Dubai, and whatever else. It says that, you know, in the dunya, he was the ruler of Dubai. He was worth billions and billions. But look, at the end, he is buried in an unmarked grave. So the true richness is the richness of the akhirah. When you go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with accounts full of good deeds, we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with iman in our hearts. May Allah bless us with this type of iman. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. And the third opinion of the scholars is that the rich people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is explaining that the rich people, they think that their wealth will safeguard them from the troubles of the world. And their wealth will safeguard them from the troubles of the akhirah. Just like Abu Lahab previously said, that, oh Muhammad, I have lots of wealth. I have lots of family and people with me. I'll use that wealth in front of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. I'll buy myself out of this. Now when it comes to the dunya, to a certain degree, you can buy yourself out of difficult situations. To a certain degree. However, most of the difficulties of the world, even they cannot be, you know, they cannot be solved with money. Yeah, a rich person suddenly gets cancer. Then what? You can use all the technology in the world. You can use all your wealth in the world to get the most advanced doctors. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not written for cure to be in your nasib, then it will not happen. You walk in, you were driving down in the best form of transport. A car crash happens. Na'udhu billah, may Allah protect all of us. And, you know, you are injured. You have had a back injury and you can't move, you're paralyzed. What are you going to do? What's wealth going to do in this situation? So the reality is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing our attention to this. That wealth will do nothing for you. The only way we can use wealth in a positive way to benefit us in this world and in the akhirah is by spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will bring us barakah in this world, and it will bring us reward and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the akhirah. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kalla, kalla, most definitely not. Most definitely not. Yani, most definitely what? Most definitely, wealth will not make this person last forever. Most definitely, this person's wealth will not last forever. Most definitely, this person's wealth will not protect him from the difficulties of the dunya and the difficulties of the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is strenuously negating this. Kalla. Moving on, Allah says, لَيُنْبَذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ. Most definitely, this lam over here, this lam, la. In Arabic, this lam is used for emphasis. And at the end of it, this noon thaqila, the noon with the tashdeed on top, لَيُنْبَذَنَّ. This tashdeed is also for emphasis. So here there's a double emphasis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, لَيُنْبَذَنَّ. Most definitely, they will be dragged and thrown. They will be thrown, فِي الْحُطَمَةِ, into حُطَمَةِ. most definitely they will be thrown into Hutama. Now Hutama, I have translated as Hutama because it is a name. And when we are translating from different languages, we will not translate names. Names will remain names. But Hutama, the ulama have described as a crushing fire, such a fire that will eat up the skin of its dwellers, and once the skin has been eaten up, the bones will be crushed by this fire. Some have also translated Hutama as the crusher, because he will crush all the bones. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from his anger and from his punishment. Such verses really make us start to fear and be scared of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah continues on to say, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحُطَمَى. And what do you understand? What do you think is Hutama? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to explain. It is نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُوْقَدَةِ. It is the kindled fire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَّتِي تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةِ. That which will enter upon the heart. That which will enter upon the heart. Some scholars here have taken a little a note out of this particular verse, نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُنْقَدَةِ. And generally we will translate it as, it is Allah's fire. However, some scholars say that, no, actually, yes, the fire does belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the purpose of referencing the fire to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself over here is to draw our attention to the severity of this fire. That it's not just any normal fire. This is the punishment of Allah, the direct punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is bringing the attention of the reader to the severity of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just to re-emphasize and reiterate the point over here. That we, by reading these verses, the fear of Allah, the fear of the punishment of Allah, should come into our hearts and allow us to then stay away from the sins that have been listed here, and to protect ourselves and to do good, to try our best to safeguard ourselves from this punishment. Another scholar, Ibn Atiyah, says that Allah here has mentioned the heart, التي تطلع على الأفئدة. So here Ibn Atiyah says that the fire will eat up, it'll burn the skin, it'll crush the bones, and then when it gets to the heart, it will attack those hearts who have the incorrect aqidah within them, the incorrect beliefs within them. So basically what he's trying to say is that the non-Muslims, their hearts will be burnt by this fire because they contain the incorrect belief. Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah mentions here, and he says that the fire is a very intelligent fire. It will recognize those hearts that have the correct belief with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within them, and it will not burn these hearts. And it will recognize those hearts who have the incorrect belief with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within them, and it will eat them hearts. Another point over here is that why, another question that sort of arises here is, why has Allah mentioned this? Now, التي تطلع على الأفئدة. Now, if you think about it, may Allah protect us, but if a human body, if a person was to be burnt alive in the dunya, the fire would burn his entire body, it would burn his heart, his skin, and everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specifically mentioned التي تطلع على الأفئدة for the fire of Jahannam. So what is the difference? What is the uniqueness of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned? So the ulama of tafsir say that in the world, if a person is burning alive, before the fire, the moment the fire reaches the skin, soon after the person will die. The moment the bones start getting crushed, or the moment he can no longer breathe, he will fall unconscious and sooner or later he will die. And this will be long before the fire reaches the heart. So by extension, this person will not experience his heart being burnt. However, in Jahannam, Allah says, لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. There is no death in Jahannam, there is no living in Jahannam. So the ulama are saying that Allah is specifically mentioning this to make us understand that when a Jahannami, may Allah protect us, is being burnt, he will experience every single thing. He will experience every iota of pain there is to experience. He will experience the fire burning his skin. He will experience the fire crushing his bones. He will experience the fire burning his eyes. And he will experience the fire burning his heart. So this is the difference between the fire of the world and the fire of the Akhirah. And also the fact that, according to some narrations, the fire of Jahannam is 70 times hotter than the fire of this world. We cannot even imagine the heat and the pain and the severity of the fire of Jahannam. May Allah protect us from this fire. And then finally, to conclude the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْصَدَ فِي عَمَدٍ مُمَدَّدَ, that verily this fire will be sealed upon them, meaning the people of Jahannam, fi amadin mumaddada, in extended pillars. So here the ulama have taken out two possible meanings. The first meaning is that, actually, so the meaning of fi amadin mumaddada, so first of all, once إِنَّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْصَدَ فِي عَمَدٍ مُمَدَّدٍ, once all of the Jahannamis have gone into Jahannam, Jahannam will be closed upon them and it will be sealed. And after that, after all of the Muslims have gone to Jannah and all of the disbelievers have gone to Jahannam, there will be some believers who will go to Jahannam for a small period of time, and then they will be taken out, they will be washed, will be put into Jahannam. So I'm talking about after this, there will be no one else left. Nobody will now come out of Jahannam. The people of Jahannam, the kuffar, they will stay khalidina fiha abada. They will stay in there forever. And the people of Jannat, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from them, they will stay in Jannah forever and ever and ever. And no one will come out of Jannah. So like this, Allah is saying that Jahannam will be sealed upon them. There is no coming out now. Jahannam, the doors of Jahannam will close and they will be in there forever, and the doom and the gloom of Jahannam will envelope them. May Allah protect us from the regret of this day. And as for fi amadin mumaddada, the ulama explain that the flames of this fire will be so tall that they will look like extended pillars coming out of Jahannam. So, to summarize and to conclude the day's talk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah has explained and has highlighted three sins that were prevalent at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Makkah. And those three sins were backbiting, slandering, fault-finding, and then thirdly, the gathering and the hoarding of wealth with greed. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to describe their abode in Jahannam. And the message is that, O Muslimano, stay away from these sins. These are things that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has forbid us from doing. And you will be protected from this fire. And carry out these sins. Go on and act upon these sins. And this is what is waiting for you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from committing sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from Naru Jahannam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding of the Holy Quran, the true love for the Holy Quran, the true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. And may Allah bless us with the knowledge of the Quran. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma.